Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to today's Business Solutions Radio Show, sponsored by John Deiter Solutions, LLC. And I'm your host, John Deiter. Just a quick word about the sponsor and what I do. I help entrepreneurs and leadership teams implement a complete management system with simple, practical, time-tested tools and disciplines that give you three things: vision, traction, and healthy. Vision, getting everybody on your leadership team on the same page with where you're going and how you're getting there. Traction, executing really well with good discipline and accountability with the team. And healthy, getting a cohesive leadership team that's high-performing, high-functioning, that works well together. We know sometimes great leaders don't always play in the sandbox well together, so we work on that. From there, we roll it out to the whole organization, where everybody in the organization has 100% clarity on where you're going, buying into how you're going to get there, executing really well in a culture that's healthy and worthwhile for everyone to be in. And that's enough about what I do. That's at the EOS, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's a solution for many businesses that have flat plateaued or hit a ceiling where the business owner is feeling frustrated, maybe losing control as they're growing. But it's not the solution for everyone. And that's the purpose of Business Solutions Radio, is I'm trying to bring in other solutions for other challenges from businesses and service providers that that offer a solution. And the motto is, there's help. That's where we're at today. So let's get started. First, I'd like to welcome kind of an honorary guest, in addition to our special guest. Karen Nowicki is the president and owner of Phoenix Business Radio X. A great person, great connector, and she's had a good curiosity about conscious capitalism, and I thought that she would be a good contributor to the conversation today. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you for having me. Usually I'm silent. I fade to black once we go live, but it's happy to have the mic open today, and I'm very excited to talk to both of you today.
I'm glad to have you, for sure. And then Scott McIntosh is the special guest, and I'm happy to welcome you, Scott. I've known Scott for about 6+ years. Had the privilege of working for Scott and also alongside him as he championed the cause of starting a conscious capitalism chapter here in Arizona. And that's kind of the topic of today's conversation. Scott's bio is pretty impressive. I know he's a humble guy, but he had an early career focused on underground mining engineering, operations, and construction. He grew his engineering firm, McIntosh Engineering, to become a preeminent worldwide engineering and project management design firm focused on providing deep underground mining services to large international mining companies. After growing to substantial $50 million plus in annual revenue and 280 worldwide employees, McIntosh Engineering was acquired in 2008, and Scott began to explore what's next. And what turned up was Mac 6, advocating capitalism as a force for good through Mac 6. And actually, I've been happy to have Jennifer Burwell on the show a couple of shows ago and talking about Mac 6 and what the good work they're doing now. And then Conscious Capitalism Arizona. One of the questions, welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you, John.
Great.
Thank you, Karen.
I don't think that introduction does justice to the rock and roll challenges of growing that business to where it was. I know you've talked periodically about that.
Well, that's interesting to say that. And just a slight background is I've heard from a few people recently that it was 10 years of hard work and then an instantaneous success. And my story wasn't quite like that, but it was basically bought a business and it was struggling. And over a 17-year period of time, 15 years of it, really, it was 10 years of survival, followed by 5 years of rock and roll. Oh, and wow. So 10 years of survival and ups and downs. And this we do a lot of entrepreneurship. We were entrepreneurs, and business is tough. And so just through the ups and downs and the hard work and creating a brand and a worldwide brand and then the 5 years of rock and roll. And that's we really grew significantly and ended up with a very successful exit with an acquisition by somebody who has continued to grow it, which is that was my baby that I grew, McIntosh Engineering, and grew it. And Stantec international company has taken it over and taken it from there. So that was my background, and you know, not just the end success, but lots of success for all the people inside that business.
Yeah,
it's good to see that it continues to grow.
Yes.
And that it's successful.
Yeah, as we exited, we didn't go out to shop the company and sell the company, and we revised maybe we should, but it was very strategic. Didn't really plan on selling it at all, but we found somebody who I had. This actually ties into John and EOS. And at the time, I didn't know the language, but I, as a leader of my company, had hit a ceiling that as we were doing $50 million in revenues, but I became the roadblock. And for if I was going to grow the company further, I wish I had discovered EOS earlier. And we'll tie this into conscious capitalism, certainly, because that's our topic. But I needed to take a step back in my own growth to mm-hmm. lead it forward. Instead, I found a company that was exactly the right kind of a fit, a strategic fit, and it was a financial strategic fit, and it was a fit for them. And so they took my baby and company, and they've grown up. We were 280 people, and I think there's at least 500 people, probably more, with a synergism with other businesses that that are out there as it's just continued to grow. And I still have lots of friends in the industry, and get to see them as they're being successful.
Well, you just met a new friend out in the lobby when I introduced you to Karen's son, Ivan, who is interested in engineering and perhaps mining engineering.
Mining guy. Right.
I'm sure John told you or maybe Ivan told you that he just did the Bisbee Copper Queen mines as a fourth grade project.
Oh, no. Okay. Yes. So, okay. This is after you get off the air, there's a conversation
here about mining. Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yes. My youngest is with us today in the lobby. With much coveted technology time while we're on air.
Right.
It's spring break here in Arizona.
Right.
So I want to go back to something that you had shared, Scott, that I think is very significant as it relates to EOS before we really focus on conscious capitalism. Although, as you pointed out, it's all tied and related.
Yes.
I think I remember asking John when we first met and you were explaining EOS to me. I said, is something along the lines, is there ever a time that a leader is really the one that has to look at their role in the growth? So when a company is stifled or it's stuck and it knows it's ready to grow, but it's not sure what to do next, is there ever a time that the leader is standing in the way? And I remember you saying, yes, you know, that does happen. And so to hear you say that you knew that you had hit this plateau and the company was ready to grow, that you had to do something different. It didn't look at the beginning like it was going to be somebody acquiring the company. But I find that fascinating that I don't know that leaders are always ready to take a look down the lens of how am I standing in the way of our growth? And that's one of the things that EOS can help.
It can. When we look for an ideal client, the target client is someone that is having some frustrations, is hitting a ceiling, either as a company or sometimes as a company and as an individual. But they have to be open and honest with themselves, a little vulnerable, saying, like Scott just said, hey, it was me that was keeping us at a plateau. And if they get that, certainly the EOS tools that we implement in the system can help them break through. Mm-hmm. And we talk about those five things to know to break through the ceiling in the first session that I do with a client. So it's front and center. And we talk about the accountability chart, where what roles do you want to have? You want to keep operating the business with the checkbook in your hip pocket, or do you want to become more the visionary leading the growth or whatever else from there? So absolutely. It can, that's an ideal client, actually, one that has that self-realization.
I think that's a perfect segue again back to Scott, because you are really the visionary, obviously with Kyle, but behind Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism for Arizona, are you not? I mean, that really is the role you get to play.
Yes, I suppose it is. And I just as a part of that segue, what's curious is, as I said what I said, but about I was not self-aware that I was the impediment to growth. We were growing the business. We were growing rapidly. What I knew was I was carrying a lot of stress as to how are we going to do this? And it was all positive stress because it's my baby and we're paying bonuses and things were all very good. But I mean, looking for a longer term strategy. So it was too much of it was about me. And I hadn't figured out how am I going to eventually transition this. We looked at transitions to employee shareholders and bringing employees in and we weren't able to work that out. And it was, I'm not going to call it luck, but sometimes the harder I work, the luckier I get. We had some inquiries from a couple of companies. Stantec was one of them at the time. And it just seemed like such a natural fit. There was going to be a way to have it not be all about me. And so I was not really aware of this. And to segue this into conscious capitalism, my awareness of this issue of hitting the ceiling came, I was attending a conscious capitalism CEO summit, which is something we do annually. It's in Austin every October, and it's 250 CEOs from around the world, literally. If you've got to be at least $5 million in revenue to attend, and many multi-billion dollar companies there, and just literally hundreds of, not hundreds, so there's 250 total, but companies that are in the $100 million to $300 million range that are there. And there was a guy by name of Rand Stegen who was on stage, and I hadn't met Rand yet. Rand was the chairman of Conscious Capitalism, and he also runs a group in Dallas called Stegen that targets mid-market companies and whose leaders he describes, and the range was like 30 to 70 million, and they hit a ceiling that the complexity of the business at the range 30 to 70 million dollars is such that the entrepreneur who may have grown the business to that level, it's grown beyond their capacity. And so he targets mid-market leaders of mid-market companies that need to take a step back in their growth. And it was sitting in the audience there and listening to him.
The light bulb went off.
And, you know, my number is 50 million. And I hadn't thought about it as such at the time, but he was talking to me. Hadn't met him yet. He was talking to me. And so at that point, Kyle and I had started Mach 6. And we were an incubator at the time and helping early stage companies grow. As we started that, I mean, I had a lot of experience that I drew on that was help we could provide. We had programs and all the stuff that incubators do. And I decided then and there, okay, I need to be on my A game. If I'm helping other entrepreneurs grow their businesses, I really need to be on my A game. So I actually went through the year-long Stegen program. And that has become part of what informs us at Mach 6 right now, tools that we learned there. And while Stegen doesn't bring conscious capitalism totally into their program, it is woven into everything that they do. And we'll get into more about what that's about. But it's the interesting thing, John, is this, it's leaders aren't necessarily aware that hitting a ceiling. They may be consciously aware there's an issue of some kind that's there, and certainly a combination of Stegen and EOS could have helped me and other leaders. Which comment on that awareness issue that's there,
right?
Fascinating.
Yeah. You don't always think of it as hitting the ceiling, but you know, the stress and the frustrations and working long hours and those things are all symptoms of, yeah, maybe there's a ceiling being hit here. So
yes,
that's a good story. So is that when you first learned about conscious capitalism, or how did you get into?
Yeah. So no, I was pretty well engaged in conscious capitalism at the time. I hadn't met Rand yet. I think that was my first CEO summit that I attended. But the backstory tying and segue from Macintosh Engineering to my discovery of conscious capitalism. We were acquired in 2008. As a services business, they don't just write you a check. There was a three-year non-competes and commitments to stay. There was financial performance before we'd get the money that we had negotiated. Long story there. But so it was by 2010 is when I really personally started to exit from the business. And having sold the business, had a big financial win. My wife and I set up a foundation, started doing nonprofit work. That was my point in time and my generation. You know, I will find purpose and give back after I've climbed a ladder and made a ton of money. And the interesting change in the world today, millennials today, and many others seeking purpose in their lives. And that's all good. It just wasn't me at the time. And so I had the financial win. Let's do something. And so we got involved in the nonprofit world. And I still do a lot of nonprofit work. So as I say this, it's with love, but I hate the nonprofit model of you have the entrepreneurial leader of a nonprofit who unfortunately spends, I'll say, 80% of their time fundraising, begging for other people's money. I mean, it's not wrong, but it's just totally inefficient. And so as I do work with nonprofits still, is I refuse to fundraise. And, you know, how do we create earned revenue and those sorts of things? Not every nonprofit can do it. So that was an initial exploration of the nonprofit world and giving back and philanthropy. And as I did more and more, I don't do politics, but I worry about becoming a nanny state and government too much help and some of the unintended consequences of that. So what can I do since I don't do politics? And I started getting involved in education through junior achievement to going into high school. And I'm not a teacher, but things like junior achievement helped me do that. And it was so a passion became fostering entrepreneurship in youth. That was high school and university. And at some point, as I'm doing all this, I stumbled across a conscious capitalism website. And it's Conscious Capitalism, Inc. is the the national brand is now Conscious Capitalism International. And I discovered language and the terminology we use in conscious capitalism. I was an unconscious conscious capitalist, meaning only that I didn't know the language of conscious capitalism. So as I was growing my career and growing my business, I didn't use higher purpose as language. I didn't use stakeholder engagement. I didn't use conscious leadership and conscious culture. Yet at the same time, we in McIntosh Engineering were doing all of that. And so as I was trying to create my own language and tell my story to high school and university, conscious capitalism, somebody has done a great job of articulating what conscious capitalism, what conscious business is about. And just to pause there for a moment, as conscious capitalism, there is nothing at all profound about conscious capitalism. It's just good business. And right. So just important for many people who may be new to it to realize, as we put this word conscious, the conscious really is running a business from a higher level of awareness. And so conscious leaders run their business from a higher level of awareness than others, bringing conscious culture into the business. So that was my discovery, John. That was probably 2011 or so.
Okay. And you led the charge to start the Arizona chapter. I think we incorporated in 2013, May of 2013. And I think there was some activity prior to that, just meeting and getting a group of people together. And Scott's a great rallier of, he's a good visionary. And he, you know, so many of us, you know, just bought into it and still involved.
And to Scott's point, it sounds like, I mean, many of us are functioning that way anyway, but it's a common language and it's stated intention, a shared intention, right? With the ability to help bring more people into awareness around how we can function. You had said it early on as you were talking about your prior business. Back in the day, I know when my dad was running Litton Electronics and L3 as a vice president, I know that in the early years of his career, it was really around going to work, making money, providing for our family, and doing whatever job really was one that you were kind of led to. But beyond that, I don't know that he thought around the bigger picture. And it sounds like you were similar and then started realizing that, you know, it's not always profit or having a higher purpose. There is a definite way to bring those together. And that's really how we ought to be showing up. So let's back up. Let's, if you could, share with our listeners, how would you define conscious capitalism if we were to put a label on it?
My label, what I mean, it's just good business. That's all it is.
Just good business.
And but then the question of what is good business? And so to take just a step further, and I say there's nothing profound, and it's really short-term thinking versus long-term thinking is all that it is. And that sounds easy, but an issue we have on Wall Street, there's many good companies there, and they're not, I think there's some bad folks that are there, and we have obvious examples in the media of broken ethics. But the big issue is the short-term mentality from quarterly reporting that is put on public companies. And so the issue with short-term mentality, and I tell this simple example so many times, if you're my employee, I pay you less and I make more money. The math is really simple. And this is profit maximization. It's how we teach in university, unfortunately. And at the undergrad level, that's all they figured out how to teach. And so the conscious capitalism model, longer-term thinking is I pay you more money. I invest in your training and development. I don't pay you more money because I'm altruistic. I pay you more money because I'm going to help develop you as a key stakeholder in my business, and I'm going to get higher productivity. And so I simplistically, in Container Store is the example of this that tells a story, is they pay on average double what the average retail store pays. They get three times the productivity. So the math still works. Instead of me paying you less, I make more. I pay you more. I pay you double. I get three times the productivity. And the math works for everybody. The employees are happy, and me as a business owner are happy.
And they've talked about how that lowered the turnover to, you know, industry lows. So if you think about it, new people coming in, you have to train. There's that, it's all part of productivity. But if you don't have to train more new people, you've got the same people that are loving their job and being well compensated, fairly compensated. You got a great culture and great people that are contributing to it. So,
Absolutely.
Is there an altruistic piece to this, though?
No. Now, the interesting, as I say, no. Conscious capitalism is a big tent, and there's There's other parts of the overall movement out there, and B Corp and B certifications and whatnot. That is it's an on-off switch. Is you either are or are not certified. You either are or not a B Corp, and that's all. It's all good. Conscious capitalism is a journey, and as so some might say, there's an altruistic side of it. I personally, I don't believe in altruism. Even Mother Teresa, I don't think there's a self-satisfaction. There's a self-something as I do what I do with nonprofits. I feel good about it, and so I think there's a I'm a. This may turn some people off to me, but I'm an Ayn Rand self-interest sort of a person. And the issue and opportunity becomes is my self-interest is achieved by serving others. If you are a vendor that I'm doing business with, if I am purely interested in myself and how I'm going to screw you and pay you less and pay you in 120 days instead of 30 days, that's a lousy relationship. But if I can look at everybody as a stakeholder and how do we, it's really win-win versus win-lose. Mm-hmm. And so it's not altruism at all. It's, I'm not giving anything away. It's just good business. And we look at community environment as stakeholders in our business, and where some might interpret the idea of corporate social responsibility as giving something away to atone for the sins of being a capitalist. We look at, as conscious capitalists, we make investments in the community because a thriving community will help my business to thrive. It's just a deeper level of thinking beyond the short term that is the real mentality of conscious capitalism that makes it all work.
Well, we've touched on two of the four pillars that actually forms the theoretical basis of conscious capitalism. And we talked about purpose, higher purpose. We talked about, and we'll get back to both of those, but the other one was stakeholder orientation. I think maybe you mentioned the other ones.
Conscious culture, conscious leadership.
Conscious leadership. So those are really the four, that's the language.
The pillars of conscious capitalism, or tenets of conscious capitalism, we call, or principles mm-hmm. of conscious capitalism.
Right, right. And so there's a credo. What's the conscious capitalism credo?
It's a three paragraph. For anybody who's listening, I can we can point people toward it. But if you read the credo and if it resonates, you are a conscious capitalist.
Interesting.
So just from the credo, first paragraph, just it comes our beliefs as conscious capitalists. We believe that business is good because it creates value. It is ethical because it is based on voluntary exchange. It is noble because it can elevate our existence. And it is heroic because it lifts people out of poverty and creates prosperity. Free enterprise capitalism is the most powerful system for social cooperation and human progress ever conceived. One of the most compelling ideas we humans have ever had, but we can aspire to even more. And there goes on, and there's another couple of paragraphs around it, but it's at the core of it, where capitalism also has issues. Capitalism is a creative, destructive process, as we do a lot of work with entrepreneurs, as Uber and Lyft as examples, and it's causing huge distress in the taxi industry. And is that good or bad? And mm-hmm. computers were invented and put a lot of green eyeshade accountants and bookkeepers out of work. There's still plenty of work for them, but it's the destructive side of capitalism that caused lots of angst in society. And there are some people that lie and cheat and steal. And so that is not true capitalism. And there's a crony capitalism, which is some level of collusion between business and government to look for a special favor. That is not what true capitalism right. is about. And that's certainly not what conscious capitalism is about.
Right.
Good business. I love that you stated that. That will always forever stick with me. It's simply good business practices and good business.
That's all that it really is. Yeah. And long-term, you know, what is good business? Win-win.
And it really is a journey that Scott mentioned before. It's not, okay, well, I crossed the threshold. I'm now a conscious business. There's kind of an ongoing pursuit of getting perpetually better. And, you know, some of the statistics on companies that, you know, conscious companies and firms of endearment and some other books that quote statistics from businesses that embraced the tenets of conscious capitalism or conscious businesses versus the stock market in general, I think outperformed 10x times
right.
the the index of the market. So it is a long-term gain game, like Scott said, and it is a journey. So keep on it and keep getting better.
It is so much of a journey, and issue is this is just good business is hard work. And so when a company has lots of revenue coming in, it's easier to solve problems. But as we do a lot of work in the startup world, company has very little revenue, they're running out of cash. And so it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, pay your employees double and you've got three times the productivity. Right. Well, as I said, my Macintosh engineering business, I had 10 years of survival and we had ups and downs in the market and I'm running out of cash. Didn't matter whether I was altruistic or not, I cannot pay you more.
Right.
And so how do you deal with those issues? There's a business at our Park Lane workspace that John knows very well about, and we've got some lower wage employees. We're not paying living wages to them, and so we recognize out of that we can't afford to. We don't have the cash to do that, and so that's going to lead to turnover, and that is not good. And we need to get the business into a position that we can at least pay a living wage. And so I know that's a big hot topic out there in the community, and it's a business can only afford to pay what it can pay. So what from the conscious side of conscious capitalism, what conscious leaders need to do is they need to have a level of transparency with employees to talk with them as around the purpose of the business, and they can stay there through the purpose. You still ultimately need to pay a living wage to have people stay and be retained and stay with the business. So what you do is conscious communications to work with those employees and let them know, here's what we're working to do. Hey, for some jobs that are lower skill jobs, maybe can't earn a living wage, and so you need to look at turnover and help those employees transition to something else, or help them with education to improve their skills so that the business can pay them closer to or hopefully more than a living wage. And so my only point is, this is really hard stuff, and so it's easy to say it's just good business. It's easy to do that, but when you deal with cash flow issues, or you lose a customer, there's so many issues you have to deal with that you have to look at from a long-term perspective and work out what your solutions are.
And it's amazing to me that now there's an organization that conscious capitalism, that where you can have these conversations and you have that support. Can we talk a little bit about what that looks like on an international level from the conscious capitalism perspective? Are the events and obviously training, that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about that aspect.
There's a good announcement we could make if you're ready, right?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to say anything, but I will.
I'm glad I asked first.
So Conscious Capitalism International, it was actually just a year and a half ago, hired a full-time CEO, Alexander McCobin. Really, it came out of John Mackey and Raj Sisodia, and wrote a book, and it was a lot of academia involved in it. And it was around 2012 when we started the Arizona chapter. 2013-14, Doug Rao was as a first part-time CEO. So as the international organization, we do two events. There's an annual, I touched on briefly, a CEO summit in Austin every year. 250 CEOs from around the world attend. And then we put on an annual spring conference. This year, it's going to be in Dallas, April 30, May 1, May 2, targeting 700 or so people there and literally from around the world. So as the Conscious Capitalism International, really, there's two events that we put on annually, and that's kind of what we do. And then the movement is growing through the chapter movement. When we as Arizona formed our chapter, the whole idea of chapters was relatively new to Conscious Capitalism International, and they weren't thinking of it. And somebody in Chicago, somebody in Australia, and then somebody in Arizona, hey, I want to form a chapter. Okay, if you feel a need. And so the rules of the game are pretty simple there. We were allowed to use the name and brand, and they said, don't screw up the brand and do whatever you want. And so for several years now, and there's now 40 chapters, including 10 international as it's grown. And so Conscious Capitalism International, while they didn't think about this chapter movement initially, it is just there's been demand, and it's entrepreneurs like myself that have, hey, I want to do something and bring it back into my community. And so what do we do locally? And so the easiest thing to think about is a chapter in Arizona will be very different from a chapter on Wall Street. And there is a chapter in New York on Wall Street. And so the types of target demographic there working with is very different than what we are in Arizona, and every chapter in the world has potentially different target demographic. We are working to do some very similar things where we put on two international conferences at the international level. So we put on lots of events, and so we do monthly meetings for members. We've got a meeting next week on Wednesday to become a quote unquote member. There is a price. The threshold is very low. It's $52 a year for somebody to join and become a member. We decided to make it not free only because there's so much free stuff out there, is to have some slight bit of skin in the game. But even at $52, and I tell people, hey, if that's a financial hardship, talk with me and we'll figure something out. Because I know for some students, that even $52 a year may be something.
Well, there's some good benefits to that too, that I've enjoyed. The foundations of conscious capitalism.
Right.
Training course was phenomenal.
There's a magazine subscription, Conscious Company magazine that comes with it. There's a number of benefits. And so members get to attend meetings. So we have a monthly meeting with members. We do Ambassador of Conscious Capitalism training. We've got a new launching certified consultant option for folks. There's a lot of things. We do monthly meetings and we do bigger events periodically. We just our most successful event just a month or so ago, Summit Substance, goes around the country, and we had six speakers in the community on finding purpose in work. Our next big event that's coming up is April 11th. It's going to be at Grand Canyon University, and it's the get my terminology, Arizona Conscious Capitalism Collegiate Challenge, which is going to be bringing student teams, ASU, NAU, U of A, Grand Canyon, and a number of other schools together in basically a pitch competition. We've got $40,000 in cash and in-kind prizes.
Awesome.
With a pure conscious capitalism theme to it. There's going to be an investment panel ahead of that on April 11th with members from different angel investment groups in town here and on the topic of investment. And I will be bringing conscious investment into that. And then the announcement is we're very excited. The international spring conference for everybody is in Dallas this year. And I'm not allowed to say or publicly announce yet, but it's going to be in Phoenix in April of 2019.
But you didn't say it here.
Yeah. So we're still...
We're going to have to cut that out of the
transcript.
No, it's okay. I'm of a ask forgiveness later, and so they want to do an official announcement in Dallas of the location. We're still looking for a venue that's appropriate. We're narrowing down the choices and some negotiation going on, and so targeting 1,000 people coming to this this event. And it will be this is going to be a big inflection point for us. That over the last 5 years, and John, you've been a part of it. John is our CFO for the Conscious Capitalism chapter here, it's going to be an inflection point on what we can bring to larger companies in the Valley here and throughout Arizona. We've got near a critical mass in Tucson to launch a chapter, sub chapter, whatever that's going to look like. And so, excellent, sometime before or with the conference, we'll be doing that and just really help us to step up our game of what we're doing to bring conscious capitalism into Arizona.
And I think you've touched on the two prongs of the mission of Conscious Capitalism Arizona, or as we say, CCAZ.
CCAZ.
It's those business owners that need a tribe to join, right, under the Conscious Capitalism umbrella. People of like mind, of like disciplines, and that may not be the right word, but just like-minded people that get together and want to do good business. But the other section is, we started this about two or 3 years ago, is a focus on education,
yes,
getting in front of the students and the younger generation to, you know, kind of prove and make sure they're hearing the message that capitalism is a force for good.
And to John Scott's point earlier, what we're learning in universities and high schools, for that matter, aren't always in alignment with true practice and really what it takes to be successful in business and to do it from a place that's not only monetized and successful with an exit strategy, and helping to make sure that the vibration of everybody involved is being raised, stakeholders, employees, customers, you name it. And so how great is that education is a specific focus for your Arizona chapter?
And Grand Canyon University is probably the lead in taking the steps
at the forefront of it. They're just picked education as a focus. And an issue we have as a chapter is the type of group we are. We're not like the PTA. And so the PTA, if you are the parent of a seventh grader, you are the target demographic. And so I should join the PTA for whatever reasons. For us, consumers, small businesses, large businesses, our demographic is everybody. And so we decided, and John, you were part of this, we needed a focus. And we were having some sporadic success in high school and in university and doing things at ASU and summer camps for high school students and whatnot with conscious capitalism. And so, hey, let's create education as a focus. November 2015, we had Raj Sisodia here put on a summit with the deans of the business schools from ASU, NAU, U of A, and Grand Canyon coming together and made several events out of it. The issue in business school is changing curriculum is really hard. Mm-hmm. And meaning virtually impossible. And so how do we weave conscious capitalism in? And I'm not an academic. And so I've been on since 2015 when we made this decision, a journey of learning from the academic world is what does it really take to, I don't want to change your curriculum, but take something like conscious capitalism and weave in this longer term thinking idea. Yeah. And so we've been working with Amy Hillman at ASU and at U of A, NAU, and Grand Canyon, in part because they're smaller and private, has been able to be more adaptable and flexible. And Randy Gibb, who's one of what I call our heroes of conscious capitalism, mm-hmm. Randy's the dean of the Colangelo College of Business at Grand Canyon. And so he has, at Grand Canyon, both at undergrad and grad level, they've got conscious capitalism absolutely woven into seven different courses that they teach.
That's amazing. I'd like to take those courses, actually. But
and the coming soon, and we will be just totally ready to launch by April of 2019, and we're near there, is they've taken and we're working to create a template of what conscious capitalism looks like in different business school curriculum. You know, there's some proprietary Grand Canyon stuff that we don't want to take, but what can we share as a template? So we're working with Randy to create that template that we can take to ASU, U of A, and with other conscious capitalism chapters around the country. We've got several other chapters that are yearning and who want to do more. And so we're going to create the template of what conscious capitalism looks like in business school curriculum initially, and then later we'll be expanding to others and eventually K-12 and more on. So that's lots of great work in education that we are doing. That's our focus. And then we get corporate leaders involved who, from the corporate leader perspective, as we seek in corporate members, the questions I have for them, and they say yes, is your future consumers, business managers, business leaders are they're in high school and university now. And so as you are running a conscious business, long-term thinking, we're part of helping to educate in the university. And so come on board and help us out to spread the message, mainly by helping us tell your story, as that's what the academics are looking for, is stories of conscious businesses, not just the four tenets, but the stories is what they're looking for. And that's what we're doing.
Right. Well, over the last couple of years, you've put some really strong people onto the board at Conscious Capitalism as well. I think some of those names are known in the Phoenix area, and I'm just proud to be part of that, humbled by being part of that. But why don't you go through a few of those names? I know.
So Randy Gibb, who I mentioned, is on our board, and so I'm on his board at the business school at Grand Canyon. Adam Goodman, third generation company. Adam is running here. Goodman's office furniture in town here. Adam is just one of the most articulate speakers around conscious capitalism. He spoke at a summit substance that we had here in Phoenix 2 years ago, and his talk was filmed, and it is the most popular talk throughout the country on conscious capitalism. So Adam's a hero. Heidi Jananga, WebPT, she's on the board. WebPT is a basically now venture capital backed to high growth company. And so Adam and Goodman's is an example of a third generation company that is also growing. They've recently done an acquisition. Heidi with WebPT, venture capital backed and growing. Brian Moore with Y Scouts, Michael Houle with Houle Corey Law, and just a wide variety of strong community leaders involved in entrepreneurship, involved in investment, and involved in all of them looking at Greater Phoenix and beyond that, Arizona, and thriving communities that will be a part of their businesses continuing to expand and thrive with the community.
Yeah,
impressive.
That's quite a group.
Yeah, we had somebody from WebPT, I think it was Linda, on Joe Puz's show, Project Management Office Hours. Joe does a show out of here, right. And one of their project management directors was here not too long ago. I was fascinated by WebPG.
Great story at WebPG. Really they've fascinating. They've got a strong culture. As we talk about conscious culture, we had one of our CCAZ meetings at WebPG here late last year. And Peter Drucker is supposed to have said this, and he actually didn't, but culture eats strategy for lunch. And in conscious capitalism, whether Drucker said it or not, culture eats strategy for breakfast. You need a good strategy, but a good or great strategy in a crappy culture, you will fail. A mediocre strategy in a great culture, you will far more easily succeed. And so WebPT has built a solid culture, and it's more for anybody doing this. It's more than just the words on the wall. Mm-hmm. And you've got to take that. And the words on the wall are kind of the fluff that is there, and it's okay, but it's how one embeds culture in your business is the key question. That it's just good business, but wow, what do I do on Monday morning? How do I do that? And that's what we in conscious capitalism more and more are working to do with leaders is the inspirational conscious capitalism 101, and then okay, what do I do on Monday morning? And about building in culture, raising my awareness as a conscious leader. What is this stakeholder engagement and win-win versus win-lose? What does all that mean? And how do we do that?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about EOS too. While we're talking about that, right? As I've come to know EOS and your work, John, that really is a big. That's what we're talking about. Being able to help people structure it and give them that common language around developing not only a strategy, but a strong culture that supports that strategy and vice versa.
The culture is really key, and EOS really approaches that as simply as we can, but pretty powerfully. And we talked a little bit about other culture things when Jen Burwell was on from mm-hmm. Mac6, and they're doing some great things in culture-focused, culture-based performing teams and so forth. So, but in EOS, we really start with the core values and what that business really is at its core in its values. And creating the culture is that you want to hire people that share those values. If a person doesn't share those values in your company, they're going to eat away in some way or another, and ultimately is going to hurt your company. So we try and get, we call it the right people, meaning that they share your core values. Easy to say, not simple, but not easy, we say, but if you establish those core values, which we do, and then you start to hire using those values, reward, fire, terminate,
track
based on a discussion and observation of how they're living the values. We did that at Mac6. We spent lots of time talking about, you know, did we walk the talk last week? No. And we'd share some failures. Okay, tell us an example when you didn't live one of our values. And oh man, talk about being vulnerable when we did that. But that was part of our culture, in that we at Mac6, we were open and vulnerable, and we wanted to be better at our values, and we all believed in them. So
it goes back to what Scott said earlier, transparency, you know, not only within the leadership, but everybody on the team. If we can take a look at how are we showing up in relationship to what we value, and track it and monitor it and know where we haven't been in alignment, then we can grow.
Right.
And we're all speaking that language and not, you know, afraid to say something in front of somebody who might be, you know, who we have to answer to. Yeah. And same thing from leadership down, it makes it obviously a very cohesive group to be able to move forward and stay true to those values and the mission and the vision of the company. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things they say about millennials is that they want to have a voice. Well, that's part of a culture as well. And in EOS, we encourage our level 10 meeting or these weekly meetings through all or levels of the organization so that everyone has a voice in raising the issues for the greater good of the organization and the purpose. Not personal, feel comfortable enough to, if there's something on your mind, to bring those up at the right level at your departmental meeting. So there's absolutely a voice from everyone within an EOS company. Talking with people, leaders, managers, talking with their people once a quarter. We encourage them to do that. Talk about how they did on their values, how they're doing on their values. What do you think? How do you think you're doing? Here's some examples of maybe when you didn't, right? And have a conversation with the employee so that you're engaged with them. And we also say in one of the tools, leading, managing, and accountability, LMA, as we say, first thing you have to have is you really have to care about your people. And if you don't care about your people, you can go through all kinds of steps, but they're going to know that you don't care. And you have to care about your people to do that. So all of that's entwined into the EOS system. That's why when we started doing this at Mac 6 and I became a student and got trained and all, and Scott was also, it's like, wow, this is comes together so well. I'm really having fun doing that.
I've just got to double down on support of everything you're saying, John, as I'm involved in EOS as well, and EOS Worldwide does not brand anything around conscious capitalism, and I have a longer term plan in my mind, and Gino and Peyton don't know this at EOS yet, but to bring them into the conscious capitalism community, that community of EOS implementers that you're one of, John, is highly a conscious company, that community that I've run into, and I am more and more describing EOS as an operating system for a conscious company. Mm-hmm. It is just built right in, although the language is not used as such, but as you go through and essentially answer 8 questions with any company that you work with, answering those 8 questions. And in EOS, you call it your core focus, which is the intersection of purpose, cause, passion. That's the conscious capitalism purpose.
Absolutely.
With your niche, with what you're best in the world at. And so as you talk about values, and as we talk about values and rolling up values is a culture. At WebPT, they've got their values on the wall and they bake it in. And EOS, the process of implementation, bakes in the values, and that is the culture. It takes a conscious leader to implement a system like EOS, and open, honest, transparent, vulnerable, all the words you used. And so the types of leaders looking for EOS are conscious leaders, and the stakeholder win-win, I believe, is baked into the marketing strategy that you work with companies on in EOS is the three uniques, and looking for those win-wins with any of the stakeholders you're dealing with. And so it is just, and I think I'd like to work with you more and more too. How do we brand this EOS as a operating system for a conscious business? It just ties so well into what leaders are looking for. To how do I bring this conscious capitalism into my business? That's a little bit longer term project for us.
Well, maybe April of 2019 might be a good time.
I'm thinking.
We're on the same wavelength there.
Yeah. It's interesting. Early in my career, I worked for a school district here locally as an administrator, and I was very passionate around really owning the vision and the mission and really holding our values true. I mean, having been a facilitator and had been, you know, trained in San Francisco to bring that thought leadership into the school district was very important. And I remember when I worked with some of the administrators at different elementary schools, and I would say, you know, let's have a conversation with your staff about the mission and the vision and the direction of the school. And have you already established what that looks like? Is everybody on board? And they say, yeah, well, we have it written down. Okay, well, you know, kind of goes back to it being on the wall. And I said, okay, well, that's a great step. We first want to make sure that still is how everybody's functioning, that this is an active mission and vision as in the language is clear where you really are headed. Now, how many, not that you have to articulate it and memorize, remember that phase in businesses when it was really just all about being able to, you know, spit it back out and rehearse it. That wasn't what we were talking about either. It was truly, at the end of the day, can people look at each other and say, here's how we showed up around these values and this direction and where we're headed? And I, even in the school district, when we really are around education and kids and helping them succeed, we were lacking in that common language. So it's fun for me to have this conversation again, as I've gotten to know conscious capitalism just through Jennifer and Kyle and now Scott as well. And of course you, John, and the entrepreneurial operating system. It's so critical that it's just not plastered on the wall, that it's not just in a handbook that when you go through your orientation or even you're hired and you're trying to listen to hit those marks, that it is embedded and it becomes part of just the back of your hand. It's part of who we are, not only as a culture, but even as individuals.
When we talk in EOS about the vision component, one of the 6 key components, we answer the 8 questions. Scott went through some of those of the vision, which is core values, core focus, what's your 10-year or long-term objective. And typically that's something related to that purpose, you know, how many members or how many people you're going to affect. Then what's your marketing strategy? And that includes a guarantee. So that establishes or at least a promise or something that you're saying that you will deliver. So there's some consciousness there that says, hey, I'm willing to guarantee something. Then we look at a three-year picture, a one-year plan, quarterly rocks, which are the most important things to do in the next 90 days, and then the whole issues list. Everybody gets them out of their head. Once we have that, the second discipline is shared by all. And when I talk to people about that in with teams, I say it's not shared with all. You're not just sharing it with them. It's shared by all, meaning that they've taken that to heart and they're really pulling for it. They're 100% behind it. That's when you've got the clear and concise vision that's going to take you forward to be successful. So
collectively owning it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shared by all. And we talk about, you know, like children, you have to say something seven times before they hear it. So you've got to repeat it. You've got to repeat it and say it. Maybe different ways. We talk about a quarterly meeting with everyone where you're again, sharing an update of where you were, where you are, and where you're going. And you do that quarterly. You have a once a year annual state of the company. So it's all about communication and people get enthused about that. I was at a client annual, actually attended one of the quarterly state of the company addresses from the CEO, which I normally don't do, but I love these guys. I wanted to see how it was going. And when they put up their 10-year goal, it was going from, I think, 200 or 300 members now to 1,400 or 1,500 members in, like, I think it's a five-year plan. And I looked around and people's eyes were open. They were smiling.
Excited.
They were excited about it. Mm-hmm. And just telling them and sharing that, knowing that you're pulling everybody together to do that was inspiring, really. It was awesome.
What have we not thought to share with our listeners around conscious capitalism today? I'm very excited because this has been fascinating for me to go this deep, but I know that there's more. What else?
I'd like to take a moment on the purpose and profit side of things because it gets confusing. Our pure language in conscious capitalism is that we pursue a purpose and profit ensues from that. And the language we use is that profit is a byproduct of pursuit of purpose. And that's okay. What happens with that language, though, we deal with a lot of investors, is one of our investor partners says, Scott, and I'll have to be careful with my language here, crap is a byproduct. That's not exactly what he said, but crap. And so I don't like thinking about profit as a byproduct like that. And so without pursuit of profit as well, the business is not going to thrive. And so what this is not pure and conscious capitalism, but the language I'm looking at, profit is not a bad thing. And every entrepreneurial company we deal with, if they don't generate cash and generate profit, you will not be able to expand and continue your pursuit of purpose. And I look at now profit and purpose being co-equal. Every entrepreneur out there, it's one other clarification on this purpose. We call it a higher purpose in conscious capitalism. Too many interpret that to mean a pure social cause of some kind. And so the Whole Foods, John Mackey, and he's a controversial figure, and Whole Foods and pricing and asparagus water and whatever. But there, John Mackey went off in the 70s, and I am going to push to change the way the world eats. And they were the leader in this, and now they've got lots of competition, and they're a $16 billion company and acquired by Amazon and all the whatever anybody thinks about that. John is still on a mission to change how the world eats, and he's succeeding. And so he had a pure social good purpose. Not every business can necessarily do that, but every entrepreneur who is creating a business has a better widget, has a better idea of how to do something that changes the world for the better. It's human innovation. And so there's not necessarily a need for a pure articulated, I'm going to give money to nonprofits and nothing wrong with that. I'm going to do something to give something away. But that pursuit of a higher purpose, and every entrepreneur, John, that we talk with, and there's a money aspect to it, they're not doing it because of the money. They're doing it because I've got a better idea of how to do things. And so that is really the purpose side of things. And millennials, sometimes pursuit of that purpose is there. We have to teach them about the profit side. You didn't have to teach me about that, but it's the it's sometimes people hear conscious capitalism and they think there's a soft side of it. And we talk about love a lot and loving employees and loving customers and whatever. And we, as we talk about love, there is a hard edge to capitalism as well. And so I love you as an employee. You still better show up for work.
Absolutely.
At whatever time, or because if you can't do that, I need you to be productive. And so that's something as people hear around this purpose and profit, and they are absolutely commingled. And John, you mentioned the firms of endearment, and there's more and more growing data out there about how these companies are outperforming the market, to including profit. And so that's how we really pursue and expand Whole Foods as a $16 billion company. We'll do more in the world than if they were sitting still locally in Texas as a grocery store, to change how the world eats for the better.
Right.
And made a lot of money doing that.
And they're making a lot of money for shareholders as they're doing it. And that's okay.
It's critical. It's necessary. It's not just okay. It's paramount.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their employees are motivated. They buy into it. They're sharing the vision as well, and doing good things in their individual stores too.
It's changing the way that we're eating. It's changing the way we're shopping. And I know that they have this give back piece too as well, so that it goes back to that win-win. Absolutely.
So just with Mackey and Whole Foods and Amazon, as I use that as an example, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of folks out there in Amazon, and they're the big bad guy in the world. And depending on how you deal with Amazon, John Mackey, and there's, okay, what's this going to do to Whole Foods? And John Mackey, he was at South by Southwest here on a panel and talking about it. And as I've heard, I know John personally, as he talks about it, the Amazon Whole Foods merger is going exceptionally well. That their Whole Foods had a strong focus on employees. Amazon has a strong focus on customers. And so Whole Foods is bringing now in a more of a customer focus. And John Mackey is going to be working with Jeff Bezos, and we'll see, because I mean, doing anything with Amazon, we don't know. But blending of cultures, and Mackey sees a lot of positive power. You can believe him or not, because he's a controversial character. A lot of positive power in what's coming together with Amazon for a lot of good for everybody.
That's great.
It is. It's exciting to hear.
Good stuff. I've said a lot about EOS, and we've said a lot about conscious capitalism. I want to go back just quickly to this, the foundations of conscious capitalism, that training program that I went through because I was a member. Plug for membership. As I went through that, looking at the next steps in each of those components of the four pillars, boy, each one of those I could tie a tool from EOS to. And I was so encouraged by that. And interesting, when I got to the end, they said, yep, was it Nathan?
Nathan Havey.
Havey is the moderator, created it, did a great job. And at the end, he says, you know, this could be a 3 to 5 year project. You know, it's going to take some time. Then I'm thinking, EOS is a conscious business. We look for a 24-month mental commitment as we work with a client team to get good at it, and then let them graduate and carry forward. So I think there's some absolute synergy here with this.
Well, Sean, there so much is, and what EOS has done, and what Nathan's Foundations of Conscious Business, as we do conscious capitalism, there's a lot of sort of higher level stuff, and it's the inspirational and purpose and stakeholder and conscious leadership and conscious culture. And the big question business leaders have is, what do I do on Monday morning? I get it. I'm inspired. But what do I do on Monday morning? And it's something we in conscious capitalism have been working on for a long time. And so the Foundations of Conscious Business is a tool for leaders. $52 a year, you join, you get it for free. Otherwise, $250. But it helps to answer a lot of the questions of what do you do on Monday morning. EOS is very similar, where there's a lot of great business books that are out there. And Jim Collins' Good to Great is one of the great business books that are out there. But what Jim didn't do was, okay, what does somebody do on Monday morning to create a good to great sort of a business? EOS bakes in Good to Great, and it answers the question. It's simple tools, and it is all about what a leader does on Monday morning. The nice thing is it's all open source. You give the books away, and so it doesn't cost anybody anything. I mean, you as an implementer can help, or I help with conscious capitalism as people are learning that. So it's real parallels, John, because that's what I think so many leaders need. I'm inspired. What do I do on Monday morning to bring this in or make a difference?
Right. Yeah. Right. When I was preparing for one of my sessions on how to be a great boss, I looked at Amazon at how many books there are out there with the term leadership or management in it. And I think it was like, one time I looked, there was 38,000. Another time was 58 or 57,000 something. Yeah. What I say is that EOS pulls a lot of that all together, simplifies it, keeps it simple, knows, and now talking with our comments today, what you need to do tomorrow, you know, a handful of things to be a great leader and a great manager. And it's simpler. not easy sometimes, but it's simpler. So
very much so.
Good stuff.
And evergreen. I know that it's like you said, it's not simple or it's not easy. It's simple, but it's evergreen. It's no fancy jargon. It's no, themes that are trending. It really is just legit. This is the best way to get things done.
Yeah. Simple, practical, time tested. Yep. And
simple, but not easy. It's just good business, but it doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. Scott,
been fun. Fascinating.
I know. I just, you can tell Scott's passion as he talks here. What the audience doesn't see is Scott's passion with his hands. We had to move all the things away from him so he wouldn't do that. But that's part of him, and I love having him here. So what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you? Or I know there's a website for Conscious Capitalism Arizona.
The best, easiest way is the website is consciouscapitalismaz.com. And you go there, there's lots of pages with lots of information, but you go to the bottom of pretty much any page, put in your name and email, and you're on my list, and you'll see more. There's an events page that has information about, we're highlighting the April event at Grand Canyon University. Scroll down, there's a link that has all of our events and meetings going on. There's a member page. We've got a brand new website that'll be launched in 4 or 5 weeks, weeks here now with some better membership tools and portals for members to go in and use. But consciouscapitalismaz.com. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a LinkedIn group. We've got all that. And those links are also on the website. But that's the easiest place is through the website.
ConsciousCapitalismAZ.com.
Yes.
And there's also a link to Conscious Capitalism International. So
yes,
you can get there from the AZ website.
You can get there, or it's consciouscapitalism.org is the international. Lots of materials there as well.
Great. Well, this has been terrific. I can't believe the time's gone already, but thanks so much to Scott for being here, and Karen for sitting in and contributing. I enjoyed having you there. Great conversation. And with that, I think we're here to say that there is help. Again, that's my punchline here. And I hope you tune in next time for Business Solutions Radio. And I'm your host, John Deiter.
Thank you, John. Thank you,
Karen.
Thank
you. Absolutely. Thanks.